You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Ministry of Business, Innovation and Enterprises has granted $1.1 million in funding to the University of Canterbury researchers to develop a hyper-realistic virtual therapy avatar to help high-functioning people with autism spectrum disorder to better recognize emotions and reduce social blindness. The University of Canterbury engineering researchers, Distinguished Professor Jeff Chase and lecturer Dr. Lou Holder Pearson, have been awarded this funding through a partnership between the MBIE and Soul Machines for their project titled AI-driven two-way feedback-controlled emotional regulation training for individuals with autism spectrum disorder. The AI system contains three elements. The first being a hyper-realistic and responsive avatar from Soul Machines' Digital DNA Studio, which are able to show detailed emotions. The computer vision to read the subject's emotional state, reaction rates and integrated tasks, stress levels via heart rate, focus and attention, and incorporating critical subject feedback. And it also contains programmed, standard, accepted therapeutic methods behind the avatar to respond to the subject's behavior or actions. These technologies enable a virtualized true two-way therapeutic session, whereas current emotion regulation software has no subject feedback. So I spoke to Professor Jeff Chase about his research and its potential. First, I just wanted to ask, what spurred your interest in doing research into developing an AI-driven program for those on the spectrum?
Yeah, so it's an incredible mouthful, like most grant titles. So actually, I've been doing research for 22 years and using engineering technology, and in particular, silicon, so computation, computers, numbers, models, to look at places in healthcare where you can find a high leverage point so that a small addition of technology, a relatively small addition of technology, or the right technology, can give you a big outcome in terms of the impact on patients and outcomes. So in the intensive care unit, where a lot of my work is, more lives saved. Equally, healthcare, the last thing you'll ever hear is somebody saying healthcare has too much money, because it's just not true and hasn't been true for the last 30 years, as the amount government's able to pay relative to the demand has shrunk, in essence, despite putting more and more actual money in. So you're looking for some place where you can put a small amount of the right technology to achieve a big outcome in terms of patient outcomes, how well they do in life, as well as in the cost of care for everyday people. And so with ASD and those on the spectrum, that inability to read the room, that lack of emotion recognition in high-functioning autism, what you find with people like that is that in the long term, they have, in essence, lesser jobs relative to the training they might receive, lesser training, lesser education, less able to hold any relationships, less social support groups, and thus higher rates of things like alcohol or drug addiction, homelessness, loss of housing, all the way down to health issues, and then finally and tragically, higher rates of suicide, measurably higher. So when we spit out this mouthful of AI-based, all the rest of it, for adding emotion or automating emotion recognition training in ASD, what we're trying to say is, what if we had the right amount of technology, the right hyper-realistic avatar from Soul Machines, the right little bit of AI, the right physiological measurements, could we actually do emotion recognition training in an automated way? And that's really important, because emotion recognition training is best done one-on-one, one-on-a-very-few, with a counselor. Those counselors are expensive, they are few on the ground, and they are hard to find and hard to get in. There's already a demand. ASD is being diagnosed much more frequently due to improved methods of diagnosis, but we've not improved the way of treating them or helping them move forward in the world. So this is just one of those right leverage points and areas, and it meets my abilities and needs, and those with my partners.
How has the international collaboration been for this type of research?
So I've been working with my partner at Furklong University. It's a small university in Baden-Württemberg for, 16 years. We work predominantly on pulmonary and lung mechanics, but his specialty is on physiological measurements and computer science and computer vision. Mine happens to be on turning physiological measurements into clear physiological pictures using models and some AI. So the collaboration started there. And then he has done some work, a lot of work with the University of Freiburg, which his institution is located with. The ASD clinic there, the Klinikum Freiburg, is the largest ASD clinic in Germany and probably in Western Europe. So he already had a relationship there for some other work. So that starts that. And then you look at what we're trying to do is add a little bit of automation, which has made productivity and hopefully lives for the most part better in lots of areas, to healthcare, in this case, ASD. But in the long term, you could imagine that this kind of application would be gamified. So I am not a big computer gamer, but I have two teenage sons who are. And, you know, they go through virtual worlds and you're interacting with the NPCs, these non-playing characters or computer characters, where I may have gotten that acronym wrong because I'm neither young nor hip. But in essence, they interact with them, you know, you buy tools or you get information. What if this was built into those games in the longer term, not today, tomorrow, or next year, or the next 3 years? What if that was built into those games so that all their interactions in the game with other players, if it's one of these massive multiplayer online games, and, you know, what if those interactions were actually graded? And if you were doing well and reading the room properly and doing better, then you might be rewarded within the game. So you could imagine this might be a therapeutic add-on that was almost entirely unseen to someone going through it. And it would be part of these video games, which are within the ASD and the high-functioning ASD community quite popular because it provides a more narrow range of social interaction where it's much harder for them to get it wrong. So the long term is you'd like to integrate it in the games. And for that, we have a young woman in a partnership with TU Graz in Austria, Johanna Pirker. She's one of the Forbes 30 under 30 in technology. And her specialty working with EA Games and others has been virtual worlds development. And so we're starting to look at how you might fully virtualize this into an augmented or virtual reality situation and create a virtual world within which this training could occur. So much like the right bit of technology for the right leverage point for the right, hopefully highly leveraged outcome to improve outcomes and costs, we're also, I think we have the right partnerships.
You've touched a little bit on like the work that Soul Machines do. How does the funding from them affect the level that like AI development?
The AI part that might sit behind and provide the therapy in response to how the patient's going is one piece. What Soul Machines really have is this hyper-realistic avatar that you can, it looks just like a human. And periodically, you read in the news about people trying to make humanoid robots, but people don't respond to them because they don't look human enough. And the same, it can be true, quite true, in virtual worlds. Unless that avatar looks human enough, it will be very difficult to really truly simulate that emotion recognition training, truly simulate that therapist at the other end, and be truly convincing. So what we're looking to do with the Soul Machines contribution is use their extremely world's unique avatar and capabilities around creating appropriate facial recognition so that you actually have, even though it's digital, a quote, real therapist right there. So I'd like to think it's the marriage of the right capabilities at the right time.
At the moment, without AI, with assistance and treatments being more expensive, what's the cost going to look like once all this is implemented?
I won't speak to what Soul Machines charges for use of its avatars because I just don't know. But when you buy a piece of software, let's imagine it was the price of an expensive video game, $100 to $200, but you got to use it all the time. Emotion recognition, you know, a therapist, if you're doing one-on-one or one-on-a-few training, might be $100 an hour. So, and you could play this 7 hours a week. So you'd make your money back within a week. I can't speak to what the exact costs might be, but the leverage when you put something into software and automation is usually extremely high. 10 to 1, say, in terms of what the outcome therapy might cost versus what it might cost today. And that means also that with software, anybody can get access, so to speak. And it might be philanthropically funded for those without the economic resources or the salary levels to pay. Anybody can have it. Right now, there's extremely sane crisis, extremely limited number of people who do this, and they're often quite booked up and full. So you're creating therapy where there was none for many people, and you're making it economically viable for everybody.
And it's very interesting as someone who's on the spectrum to learn about like such a program like this.
Well, so yeah, I mean, if you're on the spectrum, you'll have grappled with this to some extent or another. You know, it's a spectrum, right? And everybody's not complete emotion recognition free, if you will, but it is one of those things where, you know, it's something that's there, and for a growing number, particularly of children, it's an opportunity, I would say, to both minimize the potential long-term harms or loss of the ability to contribute fully to society is probably the biggest thing. But equally, you know, when people are in a position where they can't contribute their full capabilities because they struggle, say, with emotion recognition and these other pieces, then really what you're creating, you're starting to create, is a piece, not a measurable chunk, of a lost generation. And in past, we've not had the tools to do this. And now, you know, it's research. So now there's a possibility.
And that was Professor Jeff Chase talking to me about his new research.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.